Not exactly sure how to come before you this afternoon, I guess, with that kind of introduction and all the preliminaries before this hour. I thought the gallows were being brought up here just a few moments ago, and I thought, what did I do? I hadn't even spoken yet. Then all the women leave, and then my oldest son, Jacob, whom he was addressing, and you remember that fish story that was spoken of earlier? Maybe some figurative speech there or something. He comes up to me and he says, Daddy, well, are you ready to yak yet? So that's my introduction to stand before you this afternoon. It is indeed a good... You notice HD's had this running theme here lately, 20-something years, and stressing this and stressing that about how long preachers have been here and there. And he kept looking at Morgan and others, and I was trying to figure out all day what was going on, because I've been at Riverside as about as long as he's been here. I followed in his steps, much like Brother Hunter had to do, and I haven't had any problems yet that I know of, HD. They haven't said we're trying out anybody, or everyone on the lectureship is considered a potential, or so I don't know. Maybe you need to meet with your elders there a little bit. I'm not sure, but the importance of Old Testament study. I do want to say thank you again. One of my favorite things about lectureship, whether preaching or listening, is always the fellowship we're able to have with one another. And the few privileges that I've had to be able to stand here at Portland, I've always received a card. I even showed one year that these Bible teachers take the time to instruct their children in their class and teach them and send a card to say, we're thinking about you and we're praying for you. I just want you to know that means more to me. Even if it's a first grader that doesn't understand the entire concept, you're instilling a principle in them that is absolutely priceless, something that they will take into their teenage years and hopefully into the adulthood. One of the things that we often neglect in the New Testament is a grateful heart. And by teaching people to be mindful of others, it helps us to be grateful. The idea or the importance of Old Testament study. Many Christians struggle with the Old Testament. However, it does not remove its importance or its value, whether someone struggles or not. As a matter of fact, every Christian ought to be, should be, enthusiastic about the Old Testament. But sometimes we hear that word and we think of these long list of names that nobody can pronounce and these people running around in some foreign land we're not familiar with. But really, dearly and truly, there is tons, lots of information in there that we can take and have principles that we can even apply in our own life. I've heard comments like this, perhaps you have also, that in regards to the New Testament and the Old Testament, that the New overrules the Old, that the Old Testament is out of date, or that it's only concerned with waging war, violence, and all sorts of things that we need to avoid now and we're not called upon under the New Testament. As a matter of fact, I've even heard someone go to the extent and say that the God of the Old is not the God of the New. Have you ever heard that? People making going into more than one God with such comments. Any who would make such statements are ignorant of the Old, they're ignorant of the New, or they're just plain ignorant of both. As one preacher would say, that's ignorance gone to seed, or something like that. The history of rejecting the Old Testament. You know, everything has its beginning, and looking into this, and perhaps you've heard of this man by the name of Marcion. I think I'm saying that correctly. M-A-R-C-I-O-N. He was born in the latter half of the first century. And this man, he rejected the Old Testament, and he developed or he created a teaching and had actually people fall for it that would follow him. He claimed that the God of the Old Testament, who was just, could not be the loving Father of Jesus in the New Testament. He only accepted Paul as an apostle. The only gospel account that he would even give attention to is that of Luke. Is it not ironic then that the most famous doubter of the Old Testament also rejected much of the New Testament? And the same is true today with anyone who would try to pick and choose different aspects of God's Word. If one runs down the Old Testament, they are revealing a lack of knowledge, a lack of appreciation. And so it is with this lesson that we consider this afternoon that the Old Testament is the Word of God just as the New Testament is. And so let us get started and consider some Old Testament information. Originally written in Hebrew, runs Genesis through Malachi. Many people think of it sometimes as one book. Sometimes they think of the Old and New as one book. But we know 39 some books consisting or making up the Old Testament. And it was written by various men. But when you look at them, when you study them, while they are distinct, they all unify into one goal, one thought, one thing that they are trying to convey. And what's even more important, I said trying to convey. They don't try. It does accomplish it. I apologize for that. But the Old Testament books are also in harmony with the New Testament books. And in these writers, we have shepherds, we have kings, we have captives, educated men and uneducated men. It contains the patriarchal and the mosaical dispensations. For just a moment, and you'll notice there in the outline, I don't know what happened with these outlines. I mentioned to HD, I was restricted to one page. I don't know if it's my writing abilities or what, but that one page there is just very short in what I'm covering this afternoon. And so feel free to add in notes. We're going to be looking at quite a bit of scripture here in just a moment in both the Old and the New Testament. But before we get to that point, some people, they have discounted the Bible, even becoming skeptics, some atheists, no doubt doubters, even in the light of discoveries. That is, people have gone out and discovered these things that the Bible has spoken of, and they say it cannot be. We do not, brethren, first of all, I got into a huge debate one time with several people over this. We do not need confirmation of Old Testament because of some archaeological finding. In other words, if that archaeological or that artifact was never found, would the Bible still hold true today? Would the Old Testament still be there for our learning, for our example? Most definitely. And so we don't have archaeological finds as the foundation, and then the Bible. The Bible, God's Word, is our foundation. Now, there's nothing wrong with these findings. They are helpful. They do have benefit. They do reinforce some things. In Genesis 11:31, we read of Abram and this city of Ur. Now, for many years, skeptics, the scorn of infidels it was, denying this Ur because there was never any evidence in their mind. Well, guess what? Ur has been discovered along with the king and the queen's tombs. We also have the Hittite nation, the sugar stick of many an infidel professor, as they would go and corrupt the minds of young people, saying there's no such thing, even though it's mentioned in Genesis 15 and 20. And what we now have, and what has been discovered through Egyptian and Assyrian records, is a nation, a very strong nation that existed for some 7 centuries. The fall of Babylon, as we read of in Daniel, was questioned, but is no longer in question due to more findings. These are just a few examples, and this is not the thrust of the lesson this afternoon, but I just wanted to demonstrate, to show, brother, there are things that are out there, and people will continue to deny the Word of God. The Old Testament, it is the Word of God, just like the New. I want you, if you will, please turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Why is this preacher who's been assigned the importance of Old Testament study turning to 2 Timothy 3? Many of you may already know where I'm headed with this, but to me, as I was preparing and working on this type and going through my mind, and I was teaching this in a ladies' Bible class at Riverside, and the light came on. You know what I mean by that? I don't mean some supernatural, mysterious thing. It just started clicking on all, hitting on all cylinders. I said, I've got to give this at Portland because it just really emphasizes this whole idea of the importance of Old Testament study. It is in this passage, 2 Timothy 3, we're going to begin in verse 10, that we find the words of a well-worn-out apostle. It is the Apostle Paul, and he is admonishing the young Timothy. Now, you think about this for just a moment. Timothy is facing persecution from those outside of the church. Timothy is encountering discouragement from abandoners of truth. Timothy is tending to new congregations and the challenges that that presents. He is dealing with the soon-to-be death of his mentor. And what is his mentor doing? He's telling Timothy to live the very life that he's in prison for. Now, what do you tell a young man like that? I'm about to die for living the Christian life. I need your help in these new congregations. You're just a young man. I know people such as Phygellus and Hermogenes, they don't care anymore. What are you going to tell? And you think we're having a bad day when the boss frowns at us? When the boss doesn't say hello? When the wife forgets to say, I love you, or vice versa? Or someone made fun of us or didn't like something we said? Young Timothy, he's being persecuted from within, from without. Paul's about to die. All this is going on. What would you say to a young man who came looking for advice? To a young man who wanted information? I've thought about this and I've thought about this. What passages would you use? I know of no better than what is being spoken of by Paul here. God's Word enlightens us through the words that Paul tells us. In verses 10 through 13, this is what he's going to tell Timothy. Stay the course. I am your example. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Look at verse 11. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. Now, these weren't the only places, but these were the areas that Timothy was reared in, areas that Timothy would be very familiar with. And so Timothy is very aware of his mentor's life and the afflictions that he has endured. But look what he says. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. It's a source of encouragement and hope for Timothy that that person that he looked up to, that person he was trained by, has also endured the afflictions and the persecutions, and the Lord has delivered him. Timothy, the same thing will happen for you. But look at verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Paul doesn't pull any punches here. Timothy, wickedness is going to continue. It is going to increase. In other words, you will continue to be persecuted. Afflictions will come your way. Now, what does this have to do with the Old Testament? What importance at all? Well, Paul wants to comfort. He wants to strengthen. He wants to edify. He wants to instill hope in Timothy. What passage would you use? What would you say? Let's keep reading. 14 through 17, stay the course. God's Word is your expertise. Look at verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So you have his grandmother, you have his mother, you have Paul all teaching, instructing, and helping Timothy out. In verse 14, what he learned from them. In verse 15, let me ask you a question this afternoon. What scriptures are meant here by Paul? Now, you notice he said from a child. What scriptures are meant? Timothy's about, what, 30, 35, give or take, somewhere right in there. What scriptures did Paul mean? What was he referencing here that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures? But look what he says here. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. What did you say, Paul? The Old Testament makes one wise unto salvation. There is some of the New Testament written at this time, but it's not being widely dispersed. It's not like you can go down and make a copy or pick up a copy at the bookstore. The Old Testament would have been more readily available at this time. Unless the Scriptures, old and new, lead to Christ, brethren, there is no salvation. And so it's with God's Word that this is revealed to us. Well, what else? Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Did Paul say that faith comes just by hearing the New Testament? Or did he say by hearing the Word of God? Something else to think about in our faith towards God. This here we see the importance of Old Testament teaching. In verse 16, referencing the Old. Again, look what the Scripture does. Do you understand what I mean when I say the word prophet? You know, we're in some tough times right now. People talk about their retirement portfolios and how much percentage loss they are at right now. Would it be a lot better news today instead of being 8, 10, 12% loss? I said 8, 10, 12% profit. Oh, we understand it when we start talking about money. Here's Timothy. Again, I stress his situation. And Paul says that the Scripture is profitable. We like this word for doctrine, teaching, reproof, or conviction, correction, a straightening up, instruction in righteousness, a training. Now look at verse 17. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Now you take the Apostle Paul, who's about to die, who's instructing this young Timothy with the obstacles before him, and he so states these words with the Old Testament and part of the New. What may be said of us now having both the complete Old and New Testament? One can see, at least I believe from this passage, the great importance that a Bible writer places on the Old Testament. That right there ought to mean that the Old Testament is important to us, and that it ought to mean something for us. But let's keep going and consider some Old Testament and things about the Messiah or the Christ. The Bible teaches that redemption is through Christ. Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The Old Testament, it points to Christ. Every book in the Old Testament points to Christ. The coming of Christ for the redemption of man is the message of the Old Testament. Paul, turn with me, or if you would like to follow, Acts 28:23. Very interesting situation here. The church, that's you and I, brethren, are being called a sect. And in this, Paul is given the opportunity to defend himself. And when he's called upon, this is what he says. When he had appointed a day, there came to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified, look what it says there, the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. Now here's the interesting part. Both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Now, this is not a fuss at preachers, including myself, but have we ever heard a preacher preach Christ from morning till evening and stay in the Old Testament? That's just how much information regarding our Savior is found in the Old Testament. Philip teaches the eunuch. You remember the story there in Acts 8:26-40? Philip is told to go down and join himself with this eunuch. And as he sees this eunuch and he comes up to him, he says, understandest thou what thou readest there in verse 30 of Acts 8. And what does the eunuch say? How can I except that some man should guide me? And so they take up and they begin studying Philip with him. They're studying Isaiah. And the man is led into the water, baptized for the remission of sins. The importance of Old Testament study. This is where it lies. By us knowing the New Testament, we need to understand the Old. A chart that I have on file, and maybe some of you, one of you might have given it to me. I cannot give the recognition. I don't have a name, but it's not original with me. 33 prophecies, all filled in one 24-hour day, and all come together on one person, the Holy One. Now, the law of compound probability says that the odds of that happening by accident is 1 in 8.6 quintillion. I don't even know what that word means, except that that's a lot, that it could happen by accident. And the Old Testament prophesied each and every one of them. What I'm trying to stress or unload on us, brethren, is there is a lot of information there about our dear Lord, about our Savior, that our people or the brethren in the Old Testament could look to and be knowing or learning about Christ. I find it interesting that Philip takes a eunuch and he preaches the Old Testament and this man is immersed for the remission of sins. I find it interesting that Paul, taking a young Timothy, no doubt, as I said, being persecuted in all manners inside and out, and he takes the Old Testament and says what it is able to do. Is that not astonishing? Is that not a sufficient for us to create within us a desire, an appetite, a hunger for the Old Testament? What is it that these guys are seeing that maybe I've been ignoring, that I've been failing to recognize, or that I've been missing out on? The Old Testament, in case it's not enough, was scripture, was a scripture that Jesus read and lived by. That's what our Savior followed. Why wouldn't we want to know more about Jesus and His life? To understand Jesus, we need to understand the scripture that He used. Understanding what He did in the old law will help us when He speaks in parables and says other things in the gospel accounts so that we may understand more. What Bible did Jesus read? Oh, I'm not talking versions. I know it wasn't the NIV, even if it was in existence then. But what Bible did Jesus read? When Jesus read the Bible in Luke 4, 16 through 20, there in that synagogue of Nazareth, He could not read from Matthew or Mark or Luke or John or Acts or any other New Testament writing. It wasn't there. It wasn't available. What we call the Old Testament was not the Old Testament for Jesus. It was His Bible. In those scriptures, Jesus learned. It was there that He found sustenance in His mission, in His ministry, in His prayer. To know and understand Jesus better, brethren, sooner or later we will find ourselves studying the Old Testament. To know Jesus better, we will find ourselves sooner or later study exhaustively the Old Testament, if not already. Let's move on and look at the appreciation. New Testament in light of the Old. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians. And H.D. said, be sure and cover this in a letter that he sent me. And I'd already had it going in my head before I even got to that point in the letter. Because I have heard people say, what is the point? What is the use? There's nothing there. 1 Corinthians 10. We're going to begin in verse 1. Although the Old Testament is not authoritative today, in other words, the New Testament is our authority, it does not remove its value. Look with me in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. Now watch this in verse 4. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was, what's the next word there? Christ. Just a little bit of emphasis there about the importance of Old Testament study. But let's keep going. Verse 5. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things, what things, Paul? The things I'm talking about, the Old Testament, were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things. Brethren, I don't think some of us are reading our Old Testaments. They're there for our examples so that we would not lust after evil things. Look at in verse 7. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them. As is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Again, some of us do not see the importance of the Old Testament. And it shows in the life that we live. Not just in a lack of knowledge or understanding, but the things that we are committing, the things that we are doing. Look at verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed. Verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted. You see any importance there, not only in living the Christian life, but a reference to Christ? And Paul is saying these people were there for our example. Verse 10, neither murmur ye as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Verse 11, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples or by way of example. And they are written, why, Paul? For our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now, I find it interesting then in verse 12, a verse that we often hear. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. You ever run into anyone that has an issue with pride? Perhaps even our own selves. Maybe they don't realize the importance of Old Testament study, the things that are there for our example. Christ made possible the new covenant of which we live under today because of the old. In Matthew 5, 17 and 18, he says, think not that I have come to destroy the law. That's what some people, that's what some versions of the Bible try to say that Jesus did. His very own words, think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, what is one of the significant things about Christ for you and I? I realize we are blood bought, but go back a step further. He is that perfect sacrifice, that lamb without spot, that lamb without blemish. In order for that to succeed, Jesus had to obey a law. He had to live according to commands in order for this sacrifice to be perfect, of which he is. Can you see any value in Old Testament study and the sacrifice that was made for you and I? For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till it be fulfilled. Christ came to complete the old law's purpose. In Galatians 3 and 24, we learn that this old law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Now, I'm not much in the logic or I guess that category. I got to be careful there because logic kind of means common sense too. And I know some of y'all would say I might be lacking there a little bit as well. And that's okay. But y'all help me out here if I'm understanding this correctly. The law, it was a schoolmaster, Galatians 3:24, to bring us to Christ. What happens if we remove that schoolmaster? If its purpose, if its mission was to bring us to that special person, the precious Son of God, and that schoolmaster is removed, my understanding here is we could not be brought then. The importance of Old Testament study. Now, I want to spend the rest of the time that I have this afternoon, Old Testament lessons for living today. I try to make this in every sermon that I preach. What does the Old Testament do for us today? We're sitting here this afternoon, maybe a little bit weary, looking forward towards supper and maybe a little bit of rest. But what, as a New Testament Christian here in Portland, Texas today, what does the Old Testament do for us? The detail and the richness of lessons relate wonderful events and shape our Christianity today. Consider some of these things. Number one, the Old Testament does for us today, it serves as an evidence of the divinity of Christ. In John 1:45, Philip finds Nathanael and he says unto him, we have found him. Who is a him? Of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. In Acts 10:43, to him give all the prophets witness. And this is what it says, that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall have remission of sins. You know, Jesus often quoted from the Old Testament to establish his divinity, to establish being the Son of God. The apostles referred to as it is written in their writings. They were referencing the Old Testament. The evidences of the divinity of Christ. Number two, the Old Testament to exemplify principles of righteousness. Hebrews 12:1-2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Notice what it says there. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Kind of rambled and went quickly through that. Let's do that again. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. These witnesses, they are testimony. They lived in their time. They survived in their time. They overcame in their time. And therefore, so can we. Well, who are we talking about? Well, don't want to jump on anyone else's lesson to be coming up here, but the faith of Noah and Abraham. We can learn a lot from those guys in their faith. The patience of Job. The courage of Elijah. That's one of my favorite stories. I just preached it not too long. It's not a story in the sense of fictional, but at Riverside not too long ago. Can you imagine being up on that mountain? And you tell those false prophets, go ahead, call your false gods, bring down the fire, do what you got to do. Yeah, no problem, Elijah. And they start hooping and hollering and nothing happens. So they start cutting themselves and hooping and hollering some more. This is real life. This is not some movie or drama or entertainment. This is really going on. And oh, Elijah's just standing there. And he calls down or calls upon God to bring down fire. All that water and all that is soaked and all these guys probably half worn out or worn out from hooping and hollering and cutting themselves. And God consumes it all with fire. Matter of fact, they seek Elijah's life after that. The courage of Elijah. How can we not help but to learn to remain steadfast and endure and stay strong as we walk the Christian walk? Number three, the Old Testament and its importance and the study, it's a source of hope. It was written for our learning. Romans 15 and 4. And Joshua 23, 14. Behold, this day I'm going in the way of all the earth, and you know all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. Similar words are spoken in 1 Kings 8 and 56. The source of hope. We see God saying, this is what's going to happen. I will take care of you. And He does exactly that. So when He tells us, we've studied that in the Old Testament, when He tells us the same thing, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain. I've run into too many brothers and sisters, and I've struggled with it from time to time myself, who get discouraged. Lose that steadfastness. But there we are told to stay steadfast. Our labor is not in vain. How can that help? I go to the Old Testament and see it fulfilled. He says the same for you and I today under the New Testament. That is a source of hope. And that's what we need today in this world. Number four, to warn us of the consequences of disobedience. Look at Hebrews 10:26 with me. And this, brethren, is very, very powerful. I hope I can convey it in words and what goes on in my mind and thinking about this. Hebrews 10:26 and following, it says, let me preface this. A lot of times the denominational world is taught about this God who in the Old Testament is kind of fierce and very strict and military and fighting and wars. And then you come to the peaceful, all-loving God of the New Testament, you know, and He's just love, and it's just a different. Let's see what Hebrews 10:26 says, and following. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of the judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Now look at this. He that despised Moses' law, Old Testament there, the Mosaical law, died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now watch this. Of how much more, or how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who has trodden under the foot of men, the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Do you realize what the Hebrew writer just implicated there? People that want to minimize or trivialize the New Testament and somehow its severity is lessened because it's different and God has changed his mind are foolish. How much sore? He's talking about you and I that have taken advantage of the Son of God, that take for granted the blessings, that precious blood. We couldn't understand all this if we didn't study our Old Testaments, the importance of Old Testament study. And then number five, that God's word is steadfast and that God means what he says. 2 Peter 3, 1 through 10. A couple of minutes that I have left, brethren, if we never read the Old Testament, we miss out on one of the finest pieces of literature that we have within our human hands. Most people agree that the book of Job is the finest and explaining and learning about the mystery of human suffering. Emerging in a time that was filled with negativity and suspicion, considering the God-given gift of sexuality, we have the Song of Solomon and how a husband and wife ought to be in love with each other. Then the stories that are taught to our children and stories, the real-life events of Joseph and his coat of many colors. Brethren, may we never trivialize. May we never toss out the Old Testament as unimportant. If you have not already found your favorite passages in the Old Testament, I hope something has been said in this lesson to stir that up within you. The Old Testament will strengthen our relationship with God. Now, it's attributed to Augustine, but we've heard the phrase, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. If we will study in this light and place a great importance on both of them, we can learn so much. Last eve, I passed beside a blacksmith's door and heard the anvil ring the vesper chime. When looking in, I saw upon the floor old hammers worn with the beating years of time. How many anvils have you had, said I, dear sir, to wear and batter all these hammers so? Just one, said he, and then with the twinkling of an eye, the anvil wears the hammers out, you know. And so I thought the anvil of God's word. For ages skeptics' blows have beat upon. Yet though the noise of falling blows was heard, the anvil is unharmed, the hammer's gone. Thank you for your time this afternoon.